It's often said in this era of ubiquitous public opinion polls that the only poll that really matters is the one held on Election Day. On November 7, 2006, we had such a poll, and all across this country, the American people expressed their opinion on the war in Iraq in the most significant and meaningful way possible. They voted. And with those votes, they sent a clear message that they disagree with this war and they want our involvement in it to stop. The President has chosen to ignore that message, so it's up to Congress to act. The Constitution gives Congress the explicit power to declare war, to raise and support armies, to provide and maintain a navy, and to make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces. In addition, under Article 1, quote, no money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law, unquote. So these are the direct passages or quotes from the Constitution of the United States. Yet to hear some of the administration talk, it is as if these provisions were written in invisible ink. They were not. These powers are a clear and direct statement from the founders of our republic that Congress has the authority to declare, to define, and ultimately to end a war. Our founders wisely kept the power to fund a war separate from the power to conduct a war. In their brilliant design of our system of government, Congress got the power of the purse, and the President got the power of the sword. As James Madison wrote, those who are to conduct a war cannot, in the nature of things, be proper or safe judges whether a war ought to be commenced, continued, or concluded. The President, in my view, has made the wrong judgment about Iraq time and again, first by taking us into a war on a fraudulent basis, then by keeping our brave troops in Iraq for nearly 4 years, and by now by proceeding, despite the opposition of the Congress and the American people, to put 21,500 more American troops into harm's way. If and when Congress acts in the will of the American people by ending our involvement in the Iraq War, Congress will be performing the role assigned it by the Founding Fathers. That is, defining the nature of our military commitments and acting as a check on a president whose policies are weakening our nation. There is little doubt that decisive action from the Congress is needed. Despite the results of the election and 2 months of study and supposed consultation, during which experts and members of Congress from across the political spectrum argued for a new policy, the President has decided to escalate the war. When asked whether he would persist in this policy despite congressional opposition, he replied, frankly, that's not their responsibility. Last week, Vice President Cheney was asked whether the non-binding resolution passed by the Foreign Relations Committee that will soon be considered by the full Senate would deter the President from escalating the war. He replied, it's not going to stop us. Well, in the United States of America, the people are sovereign, not the President. It is Congress's responsibility to challenge an administration that persists in a war that is misguided and that the country opposes. We cannot simply wring our hands and complain about the administration's policy. We cannot just pass resolutions saying your policy is mistaken. And we cannot stand idly by and tell ourselves that it's the President's job to fix the mess he made. It is also our job to fix the mess, and if we don't do so, I think we are abdicating our responsibilities. So tomorrow I will introduce legislation that will prohibit the use of funds to continue the deployment of U.S. forces in Iraq 6 months after the enactment of the bill. By prohibiting funds after a specific deadline, Congress can force the President to bring our forces out of Iraq and out of harm's way. The legislation will allow the President adequate time to redeploy our troops safely from Iraq, and it will make specific exceptions for a limited number of U.S. troops who would remain in Iraq to conduct targeted counterterrorism and training missions and protect U.S. personnel. It will not hurt our troops in any way. They will continue receiving their equipment, training, and salaries. It will simply prevent the President from continuing to deploy them to Iraq. By passing this bill, we can finally focus on repairing our military and countering the full range of threats that we face around the world. Now, there is plenty of precedent for Congress exercising its constitutional authority to stop U.S. involvement in armed conflict. In late December 1970, Congress prohibited the use of funds to finance the introduction of United States ground combat troops into Cambodia, or to provide U.S. advisors to or for Cambodian military forces in Cambodia. In late June 1973, Congress set a date to cut off foreign funds, combat activities in Southeast Asia. The provision read, and I quote, "None of the funds herein appropriated under this act may be expended to support directly or indirectly combat activities in or over Cambodia, Laos, North Vietnam, and South Vietnam by United States forces, and after August 15, 1973, no other funds heretofore appropriated under any other act may be expended for such purpose." More recently, President Clinton signed into law language that prohibited funding after March 31, 1994 for military operations in Somalia, with certain limited exceptions. And in 1998, Congress passed legislation including a provision that prohibited funding for Bosnia after June 30, 1998, unless the President made certain assurances. Now, our witnesses today are well aware of this history, and I look forward to hearing their analysis of it as they discuss Congress's power in this area. They are legal scholars, not military or foreign policy experts. We are here today to find out from them not what Congress should do, but what Congress can do. Ultimately, of course, it rests with the Congress itself to decide whether to use its constitutional powers to end the war. The answer should be clear. Since the President is adamant about pursuing his failed policies in Iraq, Congress has the duty to stand up and use its power to stop him. If Congress doesn't stop this war, it's not because he doesn't have the power. It's because it doesn't have the will.